morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of God's Word that we shall read and consider this morning, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord. The wise man who glories in his wisdom is a fool. The apostle writes, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. The mighty man who glories in his might is put to shame. The apostle writes, God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. The rich man who glories in his wealth is forever poor. Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Only a fool would glory in his wisdom, or in his might, or in his riches. Only a fool would trust in these things while ignoring the God who gives them and can also take them away. But this world is filled with fools. It has been this way since the fall of Adam. Bible history tells us that the nation of Judah ignored the warning that God gave through the prophet Jeremiah. They trusted in their political wisdom. They trusted in their military might. They trusted in their material riches. They despised the God who gave it to them. They worshipped false gods. So God took it all away and sent them away in captivity as he threatened he would do. But who has learned the lesson? People still put their confidence in their wisdom, might, and riches, living as if God did not exist. Who would know the name of a beggar lying at the gate of a rich man's house? They would know the name of the rich man. But Jesus gives no name to the rich man in the story he tells. He gives the beggar a name instead. It doesn't matter how people know us. It matters how God knows us. The name Lazarus says it all. It means God is my helper. The rich man thought that he needed no help from God. He had it all, so he thought. Idolatry is in the heart. Wisdom, might, and riches are gifts from God, but when the one who receives a gift from God worships the gift instead of the giver of the gift becomes an idol. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is our treasure? Is it in God and his gospel? Is it in what no man can ever take away from us? Or is it in the things that fools have worshipped throughout history? When God urges the wise man, the mighty man, and the rich man to glory in knowing him, the Lord, the first thing God mentions about himself is his loving kindness. To be loved by God is the greatest treasure anyone could have in this life. It is worth more than any created gift. God is love. To be loved by God is to have God, and that means to have wisdom greater than the wisest scholar, greater might than the mightiest army, and riches beyond human measurement. But how can God love someone such as the beggar described in Christ's story and then leave the poor man in his miserable poverty so that he remained a beggar until he died? Where is God's loving kindness? Why doesn't God send someone to help this poor beggar who receives only crumbs for food? The only living beings to show any compassion for him are the dogs that come to lick his sores. How can we believe that an almighty God actually loves this pathetic man? It defies human wisdom to believe such a thing. But we don't glory in human wisdom. Just as amazing is that the rich man, who has everything he could have wanted in life, does not have God's love. God had showered the man with every luxury that money could buy. It's not that God didn't love him, but the man refused God's love. That's why he had no love. That's why he showed no love to the beggar lying outside of his gate. The beggar, on the other hand, as his name implies, trusted in the God who was his help, even when he saw no evidence of it. Faith clings to God's word alone, not to physical or material evidence of God's goodness. The beggar trusted in God's gospel and received from God what no man wanted to give him and what no man could give him. He received eternal life. The fact that the rich man was without faith is illustrated by the conversation between him and Abraham. He showed no remorse for his sins. When Abraham reminded him that the Bible warned of hell for the wicked and promised heaven for the faithful, the rich man dismissed Moses and the prophets. He asked for a miracle instead. If someone were to rise from the dead, they would believe. But those who will not hear the words of the Bible won't be persuaded by any miracle, not even the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself. Do we value what God values? God is not a man. He doesn't think like a man. He doesn't judge like a man. When God the Son became a man, he joined his divine nature that was his from eternity to the human nature that he received from the Virgin Mary. This is how we confess this personal union in the Athanasian Creed. We confess, although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ. One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God. Now, what does that mean? Not by conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God. It means that God did not change when he became a man. The man that God became was, is, and will always be the perfect man, because he was, is, and will always be the true God. When God and man are united in the one Lord Jesus Christ, we see in Christ true wisdom, true strength, and true riches. Look and see your God. See Lazarus's God. The world thinks that true wisdom lies in man's search for God. It glories in this endless search. But we cannot find the loving kindness of God until we find it displayed in Christ. True wisdom is the love that condescends to bear the sin of all sinners on the cross. Our human wisdom parades itself. True wisdom is found in humility. It is found only in Christ, who humbled himself to suffer and die for our sins. The world thinks that true strength is in human effort. But when has human might achieved perfect judgment and justice? Look around and see what human might achieves. The strong oppress the weak and take advantage of their weakness. Justice is denied to those who cannot speak for themselves. Consider the slaughter of the unborn. Justice goes begging while the strong do whatever they want to do simply because they can. The world glories in power for power's sake. God in Christ reveals true justice. This justice is established in Christ's innocent suffering for the guilty. It is a justice that the world, blinded by its own power, cannot see. Only the helpless who know they are helpless can know it and receive it, because God gives it freely to those who have no strength of their own on which to rely. The world thinks that true riches consist in the things we own. God makes us rich by giving us the righteousness of Christ. This makes a sinner into a saint. It makes a poor beggar richer than the man who lives in the lap of luxury. When you know that God, for Christ's sake, forgives you all your sins, you know that you are righteous. You are rich. All the riches of heaven are yours. The world can see none of these things. God sees differently than the world sees. True wisdom is the message of the cross. It is foolishness to those who don't believe. True might is the power of God's love in the human heart, something that no one can see or measure. You don't know it unless you have it. The beggar lying outside the gate knew the love of God in Christ. He knew his Savior. He trusted in his merits. God's power rested on that pathetic failure of a man because he wasn't a failure. He wasn't what he appeared to be. When he died, the angels from heaven carried his soul to Abraham's side. We don't see true riches in this world. We see true riches in heaven. It is the place for those who have received God's love in Christ. Perfect love, as St. John reminds us, casts out all fear. Only those who know God's love in Christ can live without being afraid of God's judgment. They know that heaven belongs to them already, even while they are living here on earth. What is God's love in Christ worth? It covers all our sins. It comforts us in every loss. It gives us confidence that we have eternal life and are heirs of heaven. From this love, we love each other. We love because He first loved us. From this love, we know God and can appreciate properly every gift that He gives. Only in this love can we be freed from idolatry that worships the creature rather than the Creator. Hell is real, and real people go there. The story of the rich man and Lazarus describes what is real. In hell, there is no love, no comfort, no forgiveness, and no hope. There's nothing but guilt that never goes away. In heaven is pure love. In heaven, there is no hatred, no violence, no greed, no resentment, no temptation, or anything evil at all. In heaven, there is nothing that goes against love. Those who treasure the love of God in Christ, the love revealed on the cross, the love given in the gospel and sacraments of Jesus, these people, like the beggar outside the rich man's gate, treasure heaven. To treasure God's love is to treasure heaven. To treasure God's love is also to love those whom God has given us to love here on earth. It is in loving our neighbor whom we can see that we love God whom we cannot see. God accepts what we do for our neighbor as a precious offering to Him. We glory in the love of God in Christ who was crucified for us. When the time has come for us to leave this world, this love will send the angels to carry our souls to Abraham's side, where we will glorify the gracious God who saves sinful beggars like us. Amen. These broadcasts that come to you every Sunday are also put on my website, www.christforus.org. And on the front page of that website is a link to where you can order a volume of sermons just published, sermons that are arranged according to the Little Catechism, and have sermons that I preached over the years that were edited by several of my sons. So I invite you to go to Christ for Us, go to the front page, and see if you'd like to purchase a volume of sermons. And we thank you for being with us today and invite you to return next week for the next broadcast of Christ for Us. If you live here in the Sydney area, we have church at St. John in Fairview Sunday morning at 8:30, Trinity in Sydney, Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Please tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.